Ministry of Higher Education, Syrian Virtual University, School of Law. The subject's title is International Trade Law by Dr. Imaduddin Muhammad. The following recording is presented by Light Initiative and recorded by Karam Jamil Dannan. The following recording will cover the pages from 21 to 31. Please keep in mind that the following recording will cover the second part of chapter number 2, which is called The Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, Part 1. Chapter number 2. The Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, Part 1. The Recording number 2. Main paragraph number 8. Interpretation of the Vienna Convention. Article number 7 states, subparagraph number 1. In the interpretation of this convention, regard is to be had to its international character and to the need to promote uniformity on its application and the observance of good faith in international trade. Subparagraph number 2. Questions concerning matters governed by this convention, which are not expressly settled in it, are to be settled in conformity with the general principles on which it is based, or, in the absence of such principles, in conformity with the law applicable by virtue of the rules of private international law. Main paragraph number 9. Formation of a contract. The Vienna Convention adopts the traditional offer/acceptance criteria for deciding the existence of a contract and excludes consideration found in common law. A contract can be a written or an oral exchange. There was a debate concerning Article number 11 due to the fact that former socialist countries only allowed strict formal requirements for making contracts and did not want to accept contracts based on oral communication. An agreement was made that those states who required written contracts could make a reservation under Article number 96. However, once the reservation is made, the contracting parties cannot agree to depart from the written contract requirement. An offer under the Vienna Convention, Article number 14, must be made to a specific person, be sufficiently definite, i.e., the offer must indicate the goods and fix the quantity and price explicitly or implicitly, and indicate the intention on the offeror's part to be bound in the event of acceptance. Article number 14 states that the price must be fixed either explicitly or implicitly. Article number 55 states that where a contract has been concluded but does not expressly or implicitly fix the price, the parties are considered to have impliedly made reference to the price at the time that the contract was concluded, or such goods sold under comparable circumstances in the trade concerned, unless there was any indication against it. Article number 14 and Article number 55 appear to contradict each other. This conflict is due to the fact that Article number 14 suggests there is no offer if the price is not fixed, either implicitly or explicitly, whereas Article number 55 suggests there is a contract even in the absence of explicit/implicit agreement of price. There is a view that Article number 55 should apply to those contracting states to the Vienna Convention, who have made a reservation that they will not be bound by part number 2. In case law, article number 55 has been cited in a number of judgments. The Vienna Convention allows for a firm offer, but the rules differ among civil and common law concerning the revocation of an offer. In common law, an offer can be revoked any time before acceptance, even where the offerer agrees to keep the offer open until a fixed date. One way for the offeree to protect himself against revocation is to provide consideration. In the civil law, where a period of time is fixed, the offeror cannot revoke the offer during that period. The issue of revocability is found in Article number 16, but it can suffer from either a common law or a civil law biased interpretation. Article number 16.1 states, until a contract is concluded, an offer may be revoked if the revocation reaches the offeree before he has dispatched the acceptance. There is much that is familiar to the common law system in this provision. Article number 16.2 states, an offer cannot be revoked, A, if it indicates, whether by stating a fixed time for acceptance or otherwise, that it is irrevocable, or B, if it was reasonable for the offeree to rely on the offer as being irrevocable, and the offeree has acted in reliance on the offer. Equally, there is much that is familiar to the civil law system in Para 2, given that Article number 16 reflects rules familiar to both sides. There is a real danger that, in interpreting this provision, emphases will be put on the part that is most familiar. To accept, the offeree has to agree with the statement, as remaining silent will not be considered as an acceptance. Article number 18.1. The offer can be withdrawn before the acceptance reaches the offerer, or at the same time as the acceptance would have become effective. Article number 22. This is due to the fact that acceptance cannot be immediate if it takes time to reach the offer. If the offer is oral, then acceptance must be immediate. Article number 18.2. The Vienna Convention adopts the mirror image rule. The offer and acceptance must match. Article number 19.1 states that a reply to an offer that is meant to be an acceptance, but contains additions, limitations, or other modifications, is a rejection of the offer and becomes a counter-offer. Article number 19.2 states that a reply that contains additional or different terms that do change the terms of the offer will be an acceptance, and the contract terms will consist of those in the offer, along with the modifications in the acceptance, unless the offerer objects. If the acceptance contains terms that do change the terms of the offer, the acceptance will be a counter-offer. Article number 19.3 has a list of terms which are regarded as changes. Price, payments, quantity, place and time of delivery, extent of one party's liability to the other, settlement of disputes. Only minor changes are likely to be accepted. For example, where an offer quotes the price FOB Singapore and the acceptance states free on board Singapore. Main paragraph number 10. Obligations of the seller. According to Article 30, the seller is under an obligation to deliver goods, hand over the documents, and transfer property in the goods. The Vienna Convention does not list the kind of documents the seller is required to hand over to the buyer. In international sales, it is usual for the seller to require certificates of origin, quality, transport documents, and other documents required for customs clearance. Article number 31 deals with the obligation to deliver. The sale contract is likely to agree to the particular place where delivery is to take place. If there is no agreement, then delivery is dependent on the circumstances. If the contract of sale involves carriage of goods, delivery will take place when the goods are handed over to the first carrier for sending to the buyer. If the contract of sale does not involve carriage of goods, and when the contract relates to specific goods or unidentified goods to be drawn from a specific stock or to be manufactured or produced, and the parties knew that the goods were at a particular place or to be manufactured at a particular place, delivery takes place when the goods are placed at the buyer's disposal at that place. Article number 31, point B. In all other cases, delivery takes place when the goods are placed at the buyer's disposal, at the seller's place of business, at the conclusion of the contract. Article number 31, point C. The Vienna Convention is silent as to whether the seller needs to satisfy any formalities in placing the goods at the buyer's disposal. The seller will have to notify the buyer that the goods are at his disposal, so he can take over the goods to avoid risk from the seller to the buyer. If Incoterms are used, then there has to be a uniform approach to a number of obligations from delivery, passing of risk to obtaining of export and import licenses. As for the date of delivery, the sale contract would normally agree to this. It could be a fixed date, or within a fixed period, or on the happening of an event, such as the buyer opening a letter of credit. Delivery should take place if the date is fixed on that date. Article number 33. Where the parties agree on a period of time, then it becomes within that period. The choice of when to deliver within that period would be the seller's, unless circumstances indicate that the buyer is to choose the date. Where the agreement does not indicate a fixed period or a fixed time, goods are to be delivered within a reasonable time after conclusion of the contract. What is reasonable depends on the circumstances of each case. Equally, where the seller is required under the contract to hand over documents, he has to do so at the time and place agreed by them. Article number 35.1 requires that they are of the quantity, quality, and description required by the contract and are contained or packaged in the manner required by the contract. Goods will not conform if they are not fit for the purpose for which goods of the same description would ordinarily be used. Article number 35.2.a. Not fit for the particular purpose made known to the seller, expressly or impliedly. Article number 35.2.b. Do not possess the qualities of goods the seller has held out to the buyer as sample or model. Article number 35.2.c. Are not packaged in the usual manner or adequately to preserve and protect the goods. Article number 35.2.d. This is the end of chapter number 2, which is the Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, part 1. Thank you for listening, and we wish you a good day.